Blog Talk Radio.
3.
It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of ten strings, upon a psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, O Yah, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in thy hand. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name. Those that planted in the house of Yah shall flourish in the courts of Yah. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that Yah is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name. Some are praise to sing with our voice and string.
To those in Christ, shalom. I'm Sister Ashley. I'm the host alone tonight. Mother Jennifer is not with me, so shout out to her. And thank you so much, Mother Jennifer, for even tuning in or listening where you are, or even on the repeat. I will miss you. I don't plan to overspeak or talk too long tonight, but we'll see how it goes. I do have some things pressed upon my heart to share, and I hope that it will edify you and give you just a attentive ear. I am learning more about the Most High Yah daily, and His grace has kept me, and I pray that that's your testimony as well. I wanted to share that there are 55 days until the land opens up for Passover. Now, you guys got to give me a second because I hear this fan behind me. Hold on. I'm turning it off. I don't want that to be a distraction in the recording or with you guys being able to hear me tonight. So I'm unable to see my chat room. The chat room says to me in front of me that it says this resource that you are looking for has been removed or has had its name changed. It is temporarily unavailable. So I tried over and over again to reload, and it's not working. Maybe it'll pop up later on, so I can't see the chat. I do have my phone fully charged. Sakina, if you're with me tonight, and you can maybe let me know if there's something I need to read or say, share something from the chat. I appreciate your service for the Father and for His people. So, yes, 55 days until the land opens for Passover. That's March the 20th. 55 days goes by pretty fast. March 31st, the land is closing. March 31st, the land is closing. That is the last day. I personally wanted to I personally, with all my heart, truly want to thank those who give of their time for the saints. You give of your time to your communities. You give of your money to the men that are appointed over you. And I want to thank everyone for their feast offerings, whether you're new or for many years, your peace offerings, your tithes of labor, the abundance that each of you bring and donate to the feast through the Be a Blessings. To every community that's able to contribute, thank you. And to anyone who comes as a child in your heart, I always tell myself when I'm alone to slow down. Don't speak so fast, right? I don't have my balancer. I don't have my mother with me. But I also wanted to share a fun fact. 1,400 phone calls last year that Elder Becker took. If my number's correct, I just spoke to him today. I hope I retained that number correctly. I know it was 1,000 and whatever, 400, whatever. 1,400 phone calls one man returned and spoke to. 1,400 phone calls, not to mention the cares and the stewardships that he has personally and the women and family in his life. So, blessed be Most High Yah's name for his strength and his example. And I wanted to tell him thank you. We were snowed in. Last week, I could have gotten to the location that I'm in by walking up here. Last week, I could have walked, but it is very treacherous to go back down, and it would have been dark and nightfall. So it was canceled simply because of the treacherousness of the hill. If it was daylight when the show was over, then I could have walked down. It was very, very treacherous, very steep. 2 days after the snow melted, we've had tons of rain and water and high 55, 60-degree weather, and it's a muddy mess. We were snowed in. I say snowed in, but the children had a blast. The adults had a blast. The maidens had a blast. Drank hot chocolate at the Bajas. Went sledding almost every day. We had what was called a Science and Safety Week for school. I decided to pick a week, just so happened to snow, but that week was to teach the children outside of the classroom things that we don't continually learn, or things, you know, outside your lessons and your worksheets. So we picked teachers from the land, Brother Bud, Deacon Bell, Grandma Vicky, Sister Johanna, who ended up being snowed in and couldn't make it, but Sister Lisa. We had some volunteer teachers to teach the things that aren't offered in your, you know, typical homeschool day. And it was a wonderful week. We continued with that. So sometimes the children would trek up the hill for class. Sometimes the children up the hill had to go down for class. But it was really nice. And I wanted to give a shout out to Sister Jordan. She's on my heart this week. And Brother Victor, he was off from his job, and it's so wonderful to see him. He is truly a brother of mine, and like a son to my husband. We've always had a special place in our hearts for Brother Victor. And before he worked on his job, he was constantly busy on the land, and I miss seeing him. He was truly doing what some would say is the menial tasks, you know, the things that other people maybe weren't assigned to. And hopefully on this land you're not going to find the people who wouldn't do those menial tasks. But Victor was always, you know, always weed eating, always shoveling the coop, hauling water, delivering wood. I mean, just doing some of those occupational things on the land. And I miss him. I miss him a lot. That's me, though. Yah's will be done. He's at his job. But I always tell him I'm praying him home. And Yah's will is that he works. But I also wanted to, last thing before I just kick off my conversation tonight, share what's on my heart. I wanted to say to each of you, and just to remind you to pray, you know, for our leaders, to pray for pastor, pray for the righteous, you know. Pray for the righteous. Pray for the children. Pray for the men of Yah. Pray for the shepherds. I am, and I have been, and I'm under my husband's instructions to continually, sincerely pray for the righteous, for all three pastors. And I do pray. I pray that every leader never forget their Yah, and that they lead and never waver, they be strong, and that they represent and never misrepresent our Messiah. And many other things, you know, that I ask the Father to bestow upon the righteous men that we have above us. But I wanted to also say that I pray they're never stopped in their, you know, that they're never stopped in their quest for righteousness. The specifically to Pastor Dow, you know, I'll never forget him. The ministry has evolved. Families have evolved. I have grown. I'm in my 40s now, 41 now. I was, you know, 20s when I met him. So a lot of us, I met, you know, I met Toma many years ago. I met Brother Ron many years ago. I met Mother Jennifer many years ago. A lot of us, and what you might not know about the ministry, is a lot of us were very close, even brother to sister as a family. And as we branched out to be examples and be lights and little sanctuaries in other communities and other places, we our relationships change. So whereas you might have been close to someone maybe by communication or physical closeness, Yah distributed righteous people all throughout these communities, and he also separates. You know, when you're strong enough to take a step and leap of faith to go be a strength to someone else. And so I'll never step over Pastor. I will never forget him. You know, the farther I am, seemingly, from him, Deacon Bell's house loves him with more than just words. You know, as new people come in and pull from him, and they are the ones that need him the most, we will always be there. And I pray that each of you, as you evolve, as you distance yourself from one another in righteousness, of course, I pray that you understand our example, that we first did that amongst ourselves as we developed in communities. We first lost each other to gain each of you. And it's a beautiful multiplication, but that is the dynamic of family when you adopt, and you adopt new souls. Tonight, and most importantly, I have to say, you know, it's the Father and it's Ruach within me. I've had the Holy Spirit for 17 years now, and he was really pressing upon me two verses. And so I was going to share it. I'm going to share it with my thoughts and hope that each of you are encouraged in some way, that you would take that verse and apply it to your own life. It's never my intention to misguide you or even teach you. Remember, the age women are to teach the younger, but I'm not a teacher, okay? So when I'm alone, I'm going to just talk, and it's going to be the Bible, and it's going to be the verses, and I'm still going to be in order. I wanted to share that Solomon had a dream, and it was expressed in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I'm going to go there now. And I can't see the chat, so let me check my phone. I'm going to have to go with my pace tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Candace. She says, sounding great. Nice and clear. Tens. Bless you. Bless you, too. Thank you, Sakina. You're good. From time to time, I might ask, because I just got a blank screen, which means I can't even utilize any of you guys as fillers tonight. I can't, you know, bounce off of the chat room tonight like I like to do when I'm alone. But let's get to the point so I don't waste any of your time. Solomon, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. Solomon had a dream. And from time to time, you've had a dream, right? And from time to time, you will have a dream. And I believe that the majority of us do believe that Yah can speak to you in a dream or show you something. I've heard dreams before from sisters or even brothers, actually, things that are shared in the past that I believed was the Most High Yah's communication, just like, you know, maybe you've heard Elder Kabir's example. That's maybe an extreme example, but I understand on a personal level that you can have dreams, you know, and so it's not foreign that the Most High chooses to communicate to his people through dreams. Now, every dream is not the Most High, right? We have to practice sobriety and compare all things to the Word and test everything to see if it be of Yah. But Solomon had a dream. And in this dream, the Most High Yah's ministering spirit, the Holy One, the Ruach, his spirit, spoke to Solomon in the dream. And he said, I heard your prayer. That's super encouraging, right? It comes with a lot of weight and a huge requirement if the Most High Yah hears your prayers. He said, again, to Solomon in this dream, I heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place. I have chosen this temple as my place where sacrifices are going to be offered to me. So you know a little bit of history. Maybe you do that. Solomon, with much help, of course, couldn't do it alone, built the Most High a temple. We can say, many translations, built him a sanctuary, built him a living room, built him a gathering place. Whatever you like to call it, KJV says temple, this place was selected by the Most High from his heavenly throne. And from his heavenly throne, he promised to, what does it mean if he says, these sacrifices that you offer unto me will be received, that I have chosen this place? Well, it means a lot, but in my mind, if I'm just going to, you know, throw some words out there, then that means he's going to descend when he wants. He's going to watch it. He's going to oversee it. And he's going to place his approval or disapproval upon the acts or actions that are in it. And so that comes the weight and the requirement. And he promised to receive the sacrifices offered to him in that place. And that was really special, obviously. Because where could you go all throughout the earth where the Father had chosen a place? Maybe there were others. I'm just talking. But it was with one stipulation, which is the majority of my chat tonight. There was one stipulation. There was one specific required demand of Solomon and those that were in that place. He spoke on in the dream to Solomon and he said, if I shut up heaven and there's no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, pause. That's verse 13. That sounds like any or all circumstances that come upon you, if there be no rain, if you be in complete desperation for water, your livelihood is consumed in any way in flesh's destruction, annihilation, starvation, barrenness, whatever, fill in the blank. If I do these things amongst my people, okay, before we go to the next verse, what is your circumstance? Your life's circumstance. You know, maybe we're not living in a time where there's no rain. Maybe you are in a location where there is no rain. Maybe you're in a physical location where it's turbulence and constant storms. What is the consuming destruction? What's the weather? What is rocking and reeling in the earth in your area, in your home, in your homestead, even on a private level? You know, what is your body doing? Is it functioning in order? You know, is it weak and frail? Is it diseased? What is your circumstance? Is there anything, any of these circumstances cause you life's desperation, cause any void or any need, then let's think about the communication to Solomon from the Most High in his dream again, verse 14. This is the one that was really, really, if I could say, burning and placed on my heart to share tonight. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, maybe you've heard that verse before. A lot of religions, you know, Bible-based faith religions can abuse or overuse that verse and take away the extreme power. The Message Bible, right, because let's do a comparison and translation just for, you know, understanding in a different words. It says, if my God-defined people, those that are defined, right, by me, if they respond by humbling themselves, praying, seeking my presence, and turning their backs on their wicked lives, I'll be there ready for you. I will listen from heaven. I will forgive your sins, and I will restore your land to health. It's a very powerful promise. In the Basic English Bible translation, it says, if my people, of whom my name is named, make themselves low and come to me in prayer, searching for me and turning from their evil ways, then I will give ear from heaven, overlooking their sin, and I will give life again unto their land. Remember the verse before that. Remember the verse before the Father says, if my people humble themselves. The verse said, suppose I hold back the rain, or suppose I send locusts and I eat all your crops, and suppose I make my people suffer with deadly diseases. Back to the application of verse 14. If you humble yourself, if you make yourself low, if you come to him in prayer, if you search for him, if you turn from your evil ways, he will give ear from heaven. He will overlook your sin and give life and restore your health. To humble yourself, and in my experience of having to apply this, is an action that you alone, I alone, am able to do in each daily circumstance, in each conversation, in each relationship, in each community. If you humble yourself, no one else is held accountable for your humility, and no one else is held accountable for your pride. You cannot meet someone else's pride with pride and be justified. And the same spiritual principles apply. If you humble yourself, he hears. If you humble yourself, you're healed. And maybe it's not instant. Maybe it's a course for you. But we definitely have our Messiah's example. Can you say that you're humble? And possibly someone else has said that you are, that you've been an example of it. They've seen you humble yourself, that maybe you know there are times that you did. Great, continue. This is what gets Yah's attention, obedience and humility. Of course, our Messiah's example, Philippians 2:8, Christ was humble. He obeyed Elohim to the death on the tree. He humbled himself from life to death. Everyone in Jerusalem is celebrating and shouting because our King is coming to you, Jerusalem. He's coming. How is he coming? He's coming humble, and he's coming riding on a donkey. He's coming on the colt, the child of a donkey, the baby of a donkey. That's what he's riding on. I enjoy Matthew 11:29, and I'll share it with you all. Let me see. Can't check my chat. Can't go to Mother Jennifer. Can't play my music. Gotta go back to the word. Matthew 11:29 says, take the yoke I give you. There are many times that I resisted the yoke, and there are many times that I have repented from not wanting the Most High Yah's yoke. There are many times that I would have left him, y'all, this, that, the land, the family, whatever. Times get that low. Maybe not for you. Depends on your test. Depends on your affliction. But for me, the yoke, I haven't always wanted. But he said, take it. Matthew 11:29. Put it on your shoulders and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. Now, considering the yoke, now remember, I have some family heritage, if I can say that, family history in horses. The yoke, and it depends on maybe the animal or your own experience, because I understand that I don't have the end of knowledge with the yoke, because you can talk about the yoke of slavery and the yoke of cattle and oxen and, you know, different beasts. But the yoke was usually made from a circular wooden halter placed on an animal's neck. And then you would harness a plow, or you would harness a cart, or any moving vehicle that you wanted this animal to pull, right? So it's placed on the animal's neck. We know that. That's a yoke. But key in on the word halter that I said. In my experience with animals or with horses, a halter was, how would I explain it? You place a halter on a horse that you will lead. That horse had no freedom on its own. That horse actually couldn't move on its own without your hands leading it. So the purpose of the father's yoke would also be simultaneous. Like, if this yoke be upon you and be placed upon your shoulders, that you would learn from him, that he would do the leading. And there wasn't a time that you could ever have the so-called freedom of your flesh to lead yourself. So a halter was also like a horse show class where you could put all the haltered horses into one show or one class, you know, and then you would, each owner would take the horse around by hand, you know, meaning that they are led. They are not ridden. These type of horses were not ridden. They were a horse show, you know, like you want to show the beauty of the horse. You know how they do those horse shows, right? But let me not get far off. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders, and learn from me. I'm gentle and I'm humble. If the Messiah is saying I'm gentle and I'm humble, then this is our goal to strive for, especially as a woman. You know, especially as a woman. Now, the Most High loves you, and he's chosen you, and you're his special people, and that's the promise of the word. And Colossians 3:12 tells you, be gentle, be kind, be humble, be meek, be patient. Do I know that pride exists? Yes. Do I know that it will tempt me? Yes. Do I know that people are arrogant? Yes. Do I know that they will sass, snap off, slam doors, or do whatever they want? Yes. Do I know that carnality is real? Yes. But I'm commanded to be gentle. I'm commanded to be kind, humble, meek, and patient. And to be humble when you correct people who even oppose you, or when you correct people who oppose the word. In 2 Timothy, is it? It says, if you're humble when you correct people, that the Most High Yah will lead them and possibly turn them to learn the truth. That's the power of humility. It's a nature. The word says that the Father rescues the humble, and that he looks for ways to pull down the proud. And the Father leads humble people to do what is right, and he leads humble people to stay on the path. Psalms 138:6, though you are above us all, you care for humble people, and you keep a close watch on everyone who is proud. Psalms 149:4, the Most High is pleased with his people and gives victory to those who are humble. Proverbs 11:2, too much pride can put you to shame. Do you even know the shame that you carry because of your pride? It would be a blind spot. You wouldn't see it. I want to bring in something else that really, you know, hit my spirit today, hit my mind. A religious spirit, let me explain, because religious spirits, the depth of them and the way that I could go would probably be multifaceted, but a religious spirit in the sense that I want to bring it in, is I marvel at first chiefly my behavior coming into the faith, and then the similar pattern of behavior to human nature when it comes into the faith. I'll give you an example. We spend years, and I mean to those who have been sinners, okay? I'm speaking to those who have been sinners, because some of you have children that are being born in this that can't share this testimony. But to those who were living a life in sin, you are giving yourself and your body and your mind over to demonic spirits, doing your own will and operating freely, functioning according to whatever you desire, coming and going when you want, buying and selling if you can or if you want. There's no restraint on the path in front of you. There's no restraint on the words you speak. And you live this life day in and day out. And then you're introduced to the way, a new way, a faith-based way where you can begin to learn the Messiah. And almost instantly, a lot of the times, and I'm not going to say 100% of the times, but almost instantly, a religious spirit or a type of demonic spirit can influence that person or even a group of people and replace the genuine relationship that the Most High intends for that person with works and pride, instantly believing, I don't do that anymore. Why are they doing it? I don't watch that show anymore. I don't watch that. I don't do this. I don't go there. I've stopped all these things. Why is she asking me to? Why is he demanding me to? And all the people in your life that are basically wanting you to continue the life of sin that you have always shown them you participate in, you now instantly behave with pride. You now put up a proud stench, not being the light and salt of the earth, not representing the humility of change, but instantaneously the pride of flesh and showing off this newfound way, misrepresenting his humility, the meekness that the Messiah had to not be such a rejecter. You know, he came for lost sheep, which means ignorant ones. He blessed the brokenhearted, not the rich in the world. He met a whore at the well. He sat with sinners. Not for us to reject everyone without an attempt to be a light first. And most of this is for someone who, you know, is not potentially a part of a community where all that you have out there are past relationships and communication with maybe those at your job or your family or et cetera. You don't have righteousness in your communications around you. You don't have relationships in the faith. So you come to him to call on his name to now act proud and separate yourself from those that you could be a light to. Now, of course, the humble Jesus, the one with manifested power from on high, that became acquainted with grief, was greatly accused. Of course, he spit on, which is highly provoking. Rides on a donkey, shares his fish, right? Bruised for our iniquity, crushed for our sin. We say all these things. A very humble but yet powerful man, a savior and a redeemer. Now, I have to also say, I'm not speaking towards the character of our Father that's also wise as a serpent or a rebuker. You know, his communication to those who didn't believe him, his chastisements and his words with swords. I'm just not in this moment speaking to that powerful side of our Messiah. I'm speaking to his mannerisms and his example to us on how we receive and forgive one another, the gentleness of the Messiah. You know, he wasn't passive, and he damn sure isn't the example painted in a lot of these, you know, buildings universally, painted by Leonardo da Vinci or the Last Supper portrayals, right? He's misunderstood by most of his creation, and he can still be misunderstood and misrepresented by those of you who call on his name. Back to Second Chronicles, though, if you call on my name, turn your back from your wicked lives, then I'm ready for you. If my God-defined people respond by humbling themselves, there's a humility that is pleasing to our Creator. Hallelujah. This is where I'll go. What say you, Mother Jennifer? You know, what say you? I'm probably almost done, really, because that was a lot of what I wanted to share. But I will jump to another example. Isaiah 57 says, our holy God lives forever in the highest heavens. And this is what he says. Though I live high above in a holy place, I am here to help those who are humble and depend on me. Isaiah 58:3. You wonder why Yahweh pays no attention, Common English Version. You wonder why Yahweh pays no attention when you go without eating and act humble, but on those same days that you give up eating, you think of yourselves and abuse others. Now pause. That's the fasting chapter, Isaiah 58. And I enjoy it from the Common English Version because he's saying, I notice that you're going without eating. You are fasting. And I notice that when you fast, you're acting humble because it humbles your flesh. You might not have anything to say. You know, you're pretty quiet when you fast. But on those same days that you give up eating, he's saying, you're only thinking of yourself. And you're abusing those around you. You're not thinking of them, and they are your servants to you. They should do it your way and the way that you think. And Yahweh has said, I have made everything. I am the reason this entire creation has all came to be. I, the Most High Yah, and my people, my treasure, should be humble. They should depend only on me, Isaiah 66:2. They depend only on me and should tremble when I speak. Zephaniah 2:3, if you humbly obey the Most High and you come and worship him, and if you do right and you are humble, perhaps you will be safe on that day when Yah turns loose his anger. Because the Most High Yah won't destroy any of the people who are truly humble and those who truly turn to him for safety. Regardless of circumstances, afflictions, going back to the verse, regardless of if he holds back the rain, if he sends a tornado, if he sends locusts, if it eats the crops, if your plants grow or not, for whatever reason my people suffer, even with any deadly disease and affliction that you have upon your flesh, 2 Chronicles 7:13, you will still, if you humble yourself, you will still be heard. I also have two more things to share. I'm going to share Luke 18. I'll go there. Got a couple things that come back to my mind. And I have an awesome story of healing that I want to share with you because I don't want to just throw out the command by the Father. I call it a command because it's a command by my husband that I live this way. I got to share this too, guys, my sisters. One day, it was just weeks ago. Was it a week ago? Months ago? 1 month, maybe. 1 month. Y'all know me in time frames. I'm going to the serving line where we all make our plates. And I'm making my family's plates, and a man, a brother, turns to me and with a snarling voice says, you're such a martyr. You are such a martyr. Says it twice, right? Now, pause. Anytime I share stories on here, 90%, 99% of the time, I always ask my husband, can I share it? Because living with saints, I have powerful stories. Living communally, we all have powerful stories of what has happened to each of us and the afflictions that we go through that just so happens to be caused sometimes by other people. So it's very important that we speak truthfully and honestly without any misperceptions and innuendos and subliminals and all that. It's the facts. This happened. You turned around, you said this to me. Okay. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Now, as a woman, I don't have any kick. I don't have a rebuttal. I don't have an offense or a defense. I didn't have anything walking away. Didn't feel any type of way. You know, nothing shall offend those who love the law, right? But why did I want to share that? Why did that come to me right before the show to share? Possibly because as I strive to humble myself with all my soul, believing with a strong conviction in my heart that it is the only way that I will enter into the kingdom, That's my personal conviction. I do not speak that or put that off on anyone else. I know my pride. I know what I go through. I know what I hear. I know what I face. And this is a fight for my soul. So as I humble myself to you, to this brother, to this man, do you read that as pity? Do you read that as me believing I'm a martyr? Do you read me being quiet as I believe I'm a martyr? What form of spirit? Now, I don't got to have these answers by any stretch of imagination. I'm presenting this to each of you to make you think. We actually have so much pride exalted amongst us that we can't even recognize humility. That if I'm just being quiet because of a command on my soul, it's translated to martyrdom. I walk with my injuries. I walk with my afflictions. Well, I just so happen to have afflictions. I happen to have trials. I happen to have a lot of agony and a lot of sorrow in prayer that I cannot even bear at times, and I can't even communicate it. I'm 17 years strong into this press for my soul, and it would be a shame if I was still a one-year babe. A martyr? Hallelujah for the example. Don't be ashamed to be quiet. Don't be ashamed to represent great change. And don't be ashamed to go before your Father, humbling yourself. Because no one else matters. No one else's vindication matters. I don't mean that in rebellion, because you know we're all submitted to those that we love, to our hierarchy, and to the order of the Most High. Right? But when you are obedient unto the Father, then there's no law for you. Right? The law is for the lawless. Hallelujah. Go into Luke 18. I'm going to share Luke 18, verse 9. And in the KJV, it's the Pharisee, right? And the tax collector. How are we doing, Sakina? We good? Let's see. All right. Tens from... I'm Candace, thank you. And Tina says, good, I got you. We're on board. You good? Thank you so much. And when she's not with me, she says, call in, sis, right before the show. Don't forget to call in, because she knows I'll be sitting here, you know, thinking or wondering what I should say, wondering how me and mother are going to conversate and lose time. It can happen consistently. Hallelujah. So, Luke 18. Jesus tells a story to people. And these people, according to some comparisons and translations, right, depending on how you read, what version you read from, it says, those people thought they were better than others, and they looked down on everyone else. Pause. Can you recognize this in you? Who is it that you look down on? And typically, you look down on the person who doesn't do what you do, or does something that you don't. It's that simple, okay? So maybe the, I don't do that. Why is she doing that? How can she do that? And get why? How can she talk to me like that? You know? I'm fasting. Why aren't they fasting? I'm praying. Why aren't they praying? Whatever that divide is that creates your haughtiness, it also happened and was talked about in Luke 18. And it says, who thought they were better than others and looked down on everyone else, two men went into the temple to pray. Is a parable. One, a Pharisee, you know, knows the traditions and the laws. Probably very taught and very studious, upright, walked a certain way, held himself a certain way, had certain relationships, you know, probably high esteemed. Seen as a religious leader and elevated in many men's eyes, maybe. I'm just adding to it. But the other man was just a tax collector, you know. Who's looking at him? Who cares about that guy, you know? The one in the third row, three seats over. Don't even know his name. Just giving a real-life example. Two of them, right? They go in to pray. The Pharisee stands up, prays, says, God, I thank you. I thank you I'm not greedy. I thank you I'm not dishonest. And I thank you that I'm faithful and not unfaithful in marriage, like other people. I'm so glad so glad everything's going good. And I got this for me and that for me. I'm everything. Thank you. Right? And I'm really glad that I'm not like the tax collector. I go without eating for 2 days a week, and I give you 1/10 of all that I earn. Now, if you apply this to modern day, the heart is very evil, desperately wicked, is very deep, right? So your heart might not say, I'm so glad I'm not like her, right? Satan is too subtle for those direct commands, these thousands of years that he's been speaking to humans. He knows he's going to come another way, you know. He's going to come through avoidance. And I'm going to avoid her, I'm not like her. And I'm going to avoid him, I'm not like him. Them, that, not going to do that, whatever. You can become so spiritual, you're no earthly good. And then the tax collector stands off on a distance, and he did not even think he was good enough to look up to heaven. See what poverty can do? See what just a working man's labor can do? The humility. He was so sorry for what he had done that he literally hits his chest and says, have pity on me, I'm such a sinner. Going broken before the Father. Right? So that's a good example of prayer. Prayer is not about say it this way, say it that way, and repeat after her or him or do it somebody else's way. It's just from your heart. And Jesus said when the two men went home, it was the tax collector and not the Pharisee who pleased the Most High. Y'all know the story. And Jesus said if you put yourself above others, you will be put down. Oh, it's just a matter of time, too. But if you humble yourself, you will be honored. King David's Psalm said the same thing. Before honor comes humility. Everybody wants a lot of respected persons, you know, by nature, human nature, by just simply all the rejection and the desire for love that is on this arrested, developed society. Seeking so much validation in man and not their creator. And the thing that would please your creator is humility, right? Humility, hallelujah. And yes, faith and belief and, right? But tonight, it's just humility. So I want to end with this really awesome, powerful story of how a man got healed. Now, let me pull this out. I wrote some notes down so I didn't forget. You know what, Sakina, can we play something? Can we play a song, man? I don't know. Text me now. I'm waiting. Do you have something to play? Or shall I play from the Goshen hit list as normal? She says, yes. Yes. You shall play, she says. All right. If I could see y'all in the chat, I would say, what would you like to hear? What would you like to listen to? And y'all already know, since I didn't have it ready, that we do not need some ad on here. And I appreciate, oh, y'all already know what I appreciate, right? Tribal Tots 3. There's been so many, like, cancellations. I don't think I've ever had more days off from the show than what I've recently had, you know, like one was sickness, one was snow, was that it? That was more than that. I can't remember, guys. Oh, and Pastor went live one time, so maybe like 3 out of the past 6, I'm just guessing, y'all would know. Probably, I'm going to go to this. Let's see. Oh my goodness, what shall we do? She can pick one. Where are you? She says, Jen's in the chat. Stayed on Jesus. All right, you first. Let's see. Look, you say stayed on Jesus. That's not even a title. Y'all know how Israel is. We rename everything. Send me back. Look. Oh, my gosh. You're hilarious. Heidi, I'm done with you. Tribal Tots 3. Give me a title, Sakina. Saints don't mind. Just a real quick break. Cause I'm going to dig out. Blessed are the meek. Thank you. Okay. Blessed are the meek. Here we go. Be right back. Bless y'all.
Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. The meek
Perfect. Travel Talks Volume 3. Check it out. Straightway South Carolina United YouTube channel. There's only 514 subscribers. Unbelievable. Hallelujah. Hopefully it'll soar to the thousands just simply because of such beautiful, beautiful work and voices. Thank you so much. Devotion to you. I am so thankful to the Most High Yah that each of us have music to listen to or to give to the youth. You know, to the toddlers, to those who are inspired by it, no matter their age, some possibly too much exposure into the world already to enjoy it, but there's still not a loss of hope, hallelujah, for any child, any age, if they belong to the Most High Yah, He will keep their souls, praise Yah. So, wanted to end by sharing this story. I had just a quick background. I'm going to be sharing a story that belongs to Derek Prince. Gosh, Derek Prince. I don't remember if he, I think, of course he died, right? I don't remember when or how old he was, but he's an old Christian minister, okay? But he had great humility, and he had an ability to understand the Most High's word, and just from my personal experience learning him, introduced to him by, of course, Pastor Dow early on in the early years of Straightway, I was able to just admire his relationship with the Most High. And so he had an experience of healing. And I didn't want to get too far from healing tonight because the humility segment of what we talked about, of course, is very, very imperative for your healing, very, very important for your approach to the Father. But the promise was, or one of the promises when you approach the Father with your humility would be that he would restore your land to health or give you life again, depending on the translation that you read. And so if you want him to heal your land, heal you in any way, hear you and answer you, it doesn't take finances for that. It don't take money for that. It doesn't take the right way to eat for that. It don't take pills, probiotics, prebiotics, you know. Don't take herbs, none of that. I'm not going to take away from herb of the field for the service of man, and I will never stop supporting the herbs at Michael Israel, right? But all things in context. I'm going to speak just simply for the healing that we can all afford, which is through humility. Okay? And so Derek Prince had a story that I wanted to share with you guys if you've never heard it. Like I said, a little background would be that because I'm married to a very seasoned man in the Word who always has the Word on his lips, who has required of me behind the scenes reading the Word or praying or, you know, whatever those requirements are to be a savior of his body, his family, I was asked by my husband a long time ago to listen to a particular service from the late Derek Prince and listen to his testimony of healing. And at the time, I was in particular need of healing in my flesh as well. And he said, listen to this and listen to it every day this week, you know, all 7 days. And maybe it was like 30 minutes, you know, just a 30-minute testimony. And so I'm going to share with you guys what that message was. And I'm going to play it for you. You know, I don't spend a lot of time playing any other minister within this, you know, blog talk or within this ministry. We don't spend a lot of time promoting and supporting a lot of other men. But I do acknowledge this man's humility and his experience, and I do put my trust in it, you know. Also appreciate my husband for sharing. Okay, getting to the point, right? All right, so he had this experience where he was in the early years of World War II serving in the British Army. Now, the World War II was 1930s to 1940s, okay? So that was quite a long time ago. He was British. He served in the British Army. And in the British Army, they called it, what he did, he was called a medical orderly. In America, we call it a hospital attendant or nurse, right? But in the British Army, he was a medical orderly. I wanted to say that because depending on where you're at or what country you're listening to, maybe the names are different. So he served with the British Medical Services for 5.5 years during World War II. So he went through a lot. He saw a lot. He helped a lot. He was a hospital attendant, nurse. Okay, so for the first 3 years of his duty, he was stationed in North Africa. First, he traveled to Egypt, then to Libya, and then to Sudan. So if anyone's there, bless you to those in Africa, you know the heat and you know the region. And in the desert, most importantly for Derek Prince at the time, the two things that he was exposed to more than anything else that he gives in his testimony was sand and sun. And he spent nearly one entire year in the desert without ever seeing a paved road. Okay? So it wasn't like grasslands. He's in the desert. Remember, he's British, right? That's a key point for a non-melanated, Caucasian-colored, as we would say. Man, that's important to know. He travels in sand, he sleeps in sand, and had sand in his mouth. That was his testimony. Many days out of that year. Sand's everywhere, right? And because he was exposed to it day and night, combined with the sun, sand and sun, had a really harmful effect on people of his color, because the skin doesn't naturally protect them adequately for that kind of exposure. And the way that this, or his skin, manifested was in a condition mainly in his feet and his hands, but his skin starts to break down, okay, and then it wouldn't repair. And so he became incapacitated, couldn't move, couldn't walk, just lay around, hands and feet mostly, but it did spread. And there was an officer in command of a particular unit that didn't want to send him out of the unit, didn't want to lose him, right? Because he's a medical nurse. He's a medical attendant or what do they call it, medical orderly. They don't want to lose a good worker. They want you to get healed and snap right back. So they don't want to send you off, ship you off, lose you. And so he spends several months like hobbling around trying to do his military duties. But however, he ends up going into the hospital. And he goes from 3 or 4 different military medical facilities. He spends an entire year in the hospital. Okay, so your skin is in pain and breaking down this entire year. And, of course, conditions in the Middle East these doctors are going to give you, and they did to him, give him very many elaborate diagnoses of his problem. So, you know how it is. Perhaps you have an issue in your flesh where it's this name, or maybe it's this name, or the name gets a little longer, or the explanation gets a little longer, or the symptom gets added to it. And that's kind of what he went through, because his condition was diagnosed over and over as different things, till finally they just said it's got to be chronic eczema. Okay? And so he was receiving at the time the best medical treatment available, obviously because he's in the military. So he lays there in bed day after day, and he shares, you know, some details of what that entire year in the hospital was like. And it really felt like an eternity to him. And shortly before that year and shortly before his skin condition, he had just began to have a personal relationship with the Most High. The military had really taught him humility. So he had started seeking what he would call the Lord or God, and he would consider himself to be born again. And he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so before that, he was extremely ignorant about the Most High's word. So you got this man in the military. Now he's hurt, and he's just learned the Most High, like brand new. And that's important to know about his condition in his mind, because he also didn't have a lot of strength in verses. He didn't have a lot of teaching ability. He didn't know he was going to be a minister or have that relationship with the Father. And so one day, he's coming across, as he's laid up in this hospital bed, he begins to search the scriptures. And of course, just like some of you, searching for answers, he wants to know about his physical condition, and is it in there? Is it in the word? You know, show me, heal my body. And so one day he comes across some verses in the book of Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, and he ends up calling them God's medicine bottle. Okay, which is what my husband would say, go listen to God's medicine bottle, right? He downloaded it on my phone. Listen to God's medicine bottle every day this week. Not because, let me not get too far, not to have the same end result, okay, but just to learn from his experience, right? So God's medicine bottle is what it was called, if you could find it. And it says in Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, and this is the verses that he found when he was laying on his bed that stood out to him. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, and keep them in your heart. They are life to those that find them, and they are health to all flesh. So he capitalizes when he's reading it, health to all flesh, and that really catches his attention, because he understands that he's flesh. And so he immediately gets excited for the first time that health could be given to his whole body, and there would possibly be no room anywhere for sickness just by doing those four steps. Attend to Yah's words. Incline your ear to his sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes, and keep them in your heart. And so he happens to start looking up, and he can speak different languages, and he happens to look up in the Bible, seeing alternative translations for words, and he looks behind health, and in the Greek, it meant medicine. Okay, and it seemed to be really appropriate for him in his condition that the Most High is promising him. He called God, right, was promising him something that would, this medicine would bring health to his flesh. And so verse 20, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings. He focused on that. And then verse 22, the life unto those that find him, health unto their flesh. Life unto those that find him, health unto their flesh. You know, somehow life and health, are in those words. What words? Right? Okay. Well, those that find them. You got to find the words. So he's realizing that the process was more than just reading the Bible. You know, he's not going to just bust out the Bible, read it, be healed. You got to find it. You got to dig. You got to be diligent. You got to search for it. So he was reading the Bible in a way to actually find out how to receive what the Most High was offering for him, to really put the Most High at his word. That you are my physician, and this is what you can do. And I do admire those of you who have those stories too, you know, where the Most High God has touched you and healed you, or even some of you in the midst of affliction still, you know, having your testimony written, you know, that it's not over. But all this medical attention that was available to him in those conditions had not helped him at all. And he's been given the best medical treatment according to the military that's over there. And so he makes up this decision that he calls was very naive, you know, very naive in his babe state, you know, that he would just decide to take the Most High Yah's word like medicine. And so when he makes a decision, it's almost like he says the Most High spoke to him, but he didn't hear an audible voice. He's just saying he knew within himself, not audibly, but very clearly, that when a doctor of this earth gives a person medicine, the directions for taking it are on the bottle, right? So then he instructs, well, this is my medicine that I'm giving you. He's thinking that from the Father, right? He's hearing that, like, this is my medicine. My word is my medicine for you. And the directions are on the bottle, you know? They're on the pages. And so it stuck out to him. Of course, he applied it. I'm rambling a little bit, but I know it's a captivating story, and I'll wrap it up by saying that the Most High reminded him that every doctor promised him benefits from the medicines he was taking. And every doctor recommended taking these medicines, this one or this one or this one, right? And unless it was taken according to the exact directions, then they no longer trusted or believed in the power of the medicine. And we, anybody who's participated in pharmakia, you know that it's pretty exact human science, experimental, that pharmaceutical drugs are given at certain days and times and after and before meals and all that. It's a science. So he decides to study that, what he calls the directions on the bottle, which is those verses. So the four specific instructions that he took every day was to initially read the verses. I'm going to attend to my words. Incline my ear into your sayings. Let them not depart from my eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And I'm not promoting redundant, vain repetition of any reading. And I'm not even saying to do what you're hearing tonight. I'm sharing this story with full faith that my Messiah will heal me and he can heal you. He's our physician. Going back to his story to end it, he wanted to comply with those things. He wanted to follow every detail, and he would simply bow his head and communicate with humility three times every day. Three times, just like you would take medicine. And he did it, how long was it? It was within a few months. And he would say to the Father, you said these words, and you said these words are yours, and you said this medicine is for all flesh, and I'm taking it like medicine. And then he would read it. And he studied those verses and truly applied it. And the pivotal part of attend to my words, that's the first command. Attend to my words is expressing humility, that you're paying close attention to someone else's words and not your own. And to incline your ear unto the Most High's sayings is also to humble yourself to listen to him and not your own mind. And to not forget them and not let them depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. And so he did this, you know, repetitiously. And he was in total health in every area of his body and achieved full healing within a few months of doing this and putting his faith in that. So it wasn't just the works, you know, the works were his faith, but it was also the humility expressed. And there was even a good many years after that that he shared. He recorded his experience on a tape, which tells you how long ago it was, right, before CDs with tapes, before DVDs with CDs. And so he records his experience and his healing, and he shares it with some man from, like, London, England, and a man from Pakistan. But nonetheless, they also were healed, and one man had suffered more than 20 years with eczema. But by the application of Proverbs 20, and verse, you know, 20 through 22, reading that and doing the same as Derek Prince did, and this was many years ago, he also was healed completely and testified and met him and thanked him because he heard the tape and decided to do exactly what Derek Prince had done. So once again, I'm not promoting that as a method. You know, I'm saying that in this instance, it was his requirement. And the only requirement that I've put before our minds tonight is my requirement, too, that we humble ourselves, you know, that that's presented to us in the dream to Solomon, and then praise the Most High Yah that it was recorded to share, to read, to know that that is the Father's heart, that if we meet that requirement one to another, then we shall be healed, too. And so I don't want any of you, you know, not that that's in my control. I don't want any of you being burdened that you've been proud or that you're not measuring up. But let the word cut you. Let it do what it's supposed to do. Let it remind you that you are but dust and that you are haughty and proud, if that be the case. And let us, you know, march on to perfection. There's a lowliness that we need to get to. And we press on. We strive on. Praise God. So, once again, let's hear the song. And thank y'all. Let me see. Sakina, anything else? Wrapping it up. 7-Eleven. Lots of hallelujah, Sakina says. And timely. Thank you. Hallelujah. And yes, ma'am. So my sister asking the question. Hallelujah. Let's see. 88 at death and died of congested heart failure. Wow. Lots of hallelujahs, Tommy. Yeah, just some testimonies coming in. Cool. Thank y'all so much. Thank you for listening. Truly, truly. It's not my words. These are words of life from our Creator. And don't be bothered by someone else's pride, right? It's only going to disturb your pride, okay? So as I've grown, I'm not disturbed by expressions of pride. I'm only disturbed by my own, truly. Hallelujah. Bless y'all. Have a good night. Hope to hear a great blog talk tomorrow night and press on and continue on to next week. The countdown will be even less. We'll be in the 40s, you know, in the 40-something days till Passover next week if you hear my voice or Mother Jennifer's voice. Bless you, Mother Jennifer, on your journey. Shalom to Georgia, all communities. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your submission. Hallelujah. And anything that befalls any of us, no matter what the circumstance is, because undoubtedly we're going to go through affliction. And whatever befalls the earth or your surroundings, remember that verse. You lose every Bible you got. Remember, humility is your requirement, and he will heal the land. Thank you, Shalaya, for the music. Brother Brandon, hats off to you, my brother. Love y'all dearly. Shalom.
Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek. The meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth.
The meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in abundant peace. The meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in abundant peace. Bless all the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
I will be humble in your sight, O Yahweh.
Bless all the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
I will be humble in your sight, O Yahweh.
Let the children of Zion be joyful. Be joyful and rejoice. Let the children of Zion be joyful. Be joyful. Rejoice.